Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You know, every time I read this verse in this proverb, I'm reminded of Solomon, but I'm also reminded of David. You know, David, when he was facing the Goliath, he knew who he was in God. But most importantly, he knew who God was. Amen. You know, when we read Psalms and when we read Proverbs, there's a lot of self-examination going on in both of these books. In Psalm, we see David constantly crying out to God. And we see David constantly using these words like, "Lord, examine my heart. Lord, see my heart. Know if there's any anxious thoughts in me." See, what David was doing on a regular basis was he was asking God, "God, reveal to me, what is your will for my life?" He wasn't asking God, "God, give me this, God, give me that." But he was asking God. He was earnestly asking God, "God, reveal your will to me. Reveal to me what you want me to do. Reveal to me where you want me to be. Show me, Lord, what you have for me." See, so we need to have that same earnesty when we come before God. See, we are so quick to bring our needs when we are in His presence. But I believe the heart of God for us is that we seek Him. Is that we seek Him, that we give Him time. For example, tonight, you know, we could have just rushed through the service and not let God move amongst us, not let His Spirit minister to us. But in that moment, you know, we need to see what God is wanting to do in the midst of us. We need to give God the full control. And in us giving God full control, He then moves in our lives and reveals to us His purposes and His plans for each and every one of us. See, how do we guard our hearts? How do we guard our heart? We guard our hearts by knowing who God is and knowing who He has created us to be. Knowing who God is and knowing who He has created us to be. So if you're taking notes, you can write these down. What drains me emotionally? What drains me spiritually? What drains me mentally? What drains me physically? Just some questions to take away tonight. What drains you emotionally? Is it social media? What drains you mentally? What do you watch on TV? Is there a lot of news that you watch on TV? Are you walking about with a lot of fear in you? And if you're carrying a lot of fear in you, and part of you carrying a lot of fear is because of what you've seen in the TV, then perhaps it's time to get your remote control and close that channel. And watch something that inspires you. Watch something that motivates you. Watch something that makes you want to follow the call of God in your life. See, minimize the life-sucking people around you. Minimize the people who constantly speak negativity around you. Instead, become a life-giving person. Amen. Let's become a life-giving community. Like Andrew was saying earlier on, the world is dying. There's so much negativity in the world right now. There's so much criticism in the world right now. There's so much pulling people down in the world right now. Let's be a community. Let's be a church who will speak life, who will stand for the truth. And it will be life givers in the community, who will be life speakers in the community. Not only that, but who will move in signs, wonders and miracles in this community. Amen. See, we have to, every now and again, we have to turn off the noise. Just so that we can prioritize time with God. Amen. Just a word of challenge and a word of advice for each and every one of us. Wherever you are, be fully there. Wherever you are, be fully there. In other words, if you're having a conversation with someone, don't look at your phone. The person's trying to talk to you. You know, when it's somewhere, just be there. If you're engaging in a conversation, be there. You see, the challenge for us today is like, you know, we've got so much technology, we've got so much devices that surrounds us. But the thing is, we have to be fully there. When we're in the church, let's be fully there. Let's not lose our sight watching on something on mobile when we have this wonderful opportunity where we can mix with one another, we can learn from one another, we can grow listening to one another. Let's be fully there. You know, so how do we guard our heart? Firstly, by knowing who we are in God. Knowing who we are in Christ. And also knowing who God is. God is our creator. He is our anchor. In Him all things are possible. And if all things are possible in Him, then surely He will give us the strength to guard our hearts. Amen. Secondly, by being a lifelong learner. Being a lifelong learner. I want to give us another 8 questions. I'm just giving our questions tonight, you know, just so that we can go away with these questions and we can examine ourselves. So in knowing yourself, we talked about what drains you emotionally, what drains you physically, what drains you mentally, what drains you. And also consider what fills your emotional tank. What fills you? You see? And what fills you, you should be doing more of what fills you rather than what drains you. What fills you element should be greater than what drains you. So for example, if listening to the Word of God fills your tank, then listening to the Word of God is what you should do more before you learn to give the Word of God to others. Amen? So we have to do what fills our emotional tank more than what drains our emotional tank. I can talk about these things because I've experienced burnout myself. Early days of Christian ministry, you know. You think you're ready, you're Superman, you can serve everywhere, you can say yes to everyone. And then you drain yourself. And when you drain yourself, you've got nothing to give out. You know, and it kind of drains you emotionally, it drains you mentally, it drains you physically. You know, you're tormented because you're like, you know you want to serve God, you know you want to help people, but at the same time, you're not in the right place yourself. So now, I've learned from it, and so now I focus on what fills my emotional tank more. And if we focus more on what fills our emotional tank, then automatically we will learn to give others. Because we overflow, like that psalm says in Psalm 23, my cup overflows. My cup overflows because God has given us wisdom. You know, and this goes on with what Andrew was saying about opening that vessel, opening the lid in that vessel. So each and every one of us, we're God vessels. But what we do is we close the lid. It's time for us to open that lid and to receive first, amen. We close the cap and we give it out. And the only thing we've got now left is drips. You know, we need to open that tap and we need to receive from God, amen. So the second one is being a lifelong learner. Peter. You know, Peter thought many times in his journey that he'd got it. You know, he was the first one to actually ask Jesus questions, which was great. He was the first one to act. You know, he was the man who drew out his sword and cut the soldier's ear. You know, so he was the first man to act, you know, and he was the man who actually stepped out a boat and walked on water. So he was the one who was ready, you know. But there was so much still left in him that he needed to learn. And for each and every one of us, you know, there's so much still left for each and every one of us to learn. We can learn so much each and every day. So I want to drop us 8 questions, okay? 8 questions. The first one is this. Am I open to other people's ideas? Am I open to other people's ideas? So these are my personal questions to me. Am I open to other people's ideas? Secondly, do I listen more than I talk? Do I listen more than I talk? Sometimes I find myself talking more than listening. Okay, so I purposely now challenge myself to listen more. Do I listen more than I talk? Thirdly, do I admit when I am wrong? Do I admit when I am wrong? Fourth one is, do I observe before acting on a situation? Do I observe before acting on a situation? And this is a challenging one. Am I open to doing things in a way which I haven't done before? Am I open to doing things in a way which I haven't done before? The sixth one is, do I act defensive when being criticized, or do I listen openly for truth? Do I act defensive when being criticized, or do I listen openly for truth? Am I willing to ask a question that will expose my ignorance? Or am I willing to ask a question that will expose my ignorance? Number 8. Am I open to changing my opinion based on new information? Am I open to changing my opinion based on new information? These are some of the things that I self-assess. I wouldn't say I do it every time, but I've got this, you know, so I go back to it now and again, and I re-examine myself. Daniel, are you open to other people's ideas? And honestly, most times I'm not, you know. So this is a challenge to me as well. Am I open to other people's ideas? Because in one's eyes, one's always right. Okay? In one's eyes, one's always right. But you know, even when we're driving car, we don't see the blind spots. See, Mick, myself, Andrew and David, we went to Nottingham to pick some of the goods for the church, like fridges and cooker and everything. And Mick was driving this big van, and he was very careful when he was driving, so everything was fine. You know, but when he was reversing, he couldn't see the blind spots. So he asked myself or Andrew or David to kind of guide him through as he was reversing. See, and sometimes even in our lives, there are some blind spots which we perhaps don't see and which we perhaps don't admit. You know, and in the life of Peter, there were some blind spots which Peter didn't see. And time after time, he'd act, he'd do something which he thought was right. For example, when Jesus said, oh, I'm going to be persecuted, he's like, no, Lord, I'm not going to let that happen to you. He was saying the right things because he was supporting his Lord. He was supporting his rabbi. He was like, I'm not going to let any man touch you, Lord. I'm not going to let that happen. You know, but when Robert hit the road, when it came to pass, he denied Jesus 3 times.
He denied Jesus 3 times, but he wasn't ready.
He wasn't ready. Number 2, do I listen more than I talk? I touched on this last Sunday again when Jesus said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. See, it's so important, very important that we learn to listen. Changing my opinion based on new information. Admitting when I am wrong. See, we don't like admitting when we are wrong. I don't. You know, but this is something that we have to learn to do. We have to learn to admit when we are in the wrong. Because that's how we grow, amen? That's how we grow. David, when he was challenged about what he did to Bathsheba, what did he do? He was in denial. When Prophet Nathan, time after time, challenged him, he said, no, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. Then Prophet Nathan had to use his analogy and bring a story about what will you do in this situation. And he goes, surely the guy needs to be punished for what he did. And Prophet Nathan said, you're right, you are that guy. He didn't openly admit, but when the Lord revealed things to the prophet, and when it was brought to light, then he admitted. You know, and if there are things in our lives that's perhaps blocking us moving towards what God has for us, we need to admit, amen? We need to learn to admit. This is, like I said earlier on, this is the most safest and most gracious place there is out there, you know? And we can be open with one another. We have to learn to share with one another. That's how we grow. Do I observe more? Do I observe before acting on a situation? Before, you know, I said do. But now I do is I think before I do now. Not all the time, but I try to think before I do something. You see, because sometimes we're in a rush and we just do things. We were just talking about rush. We did a study on Mr. Rush on our English class, didn't we, John, last Tuesday? Mr. Rush, he was always in a rush. You know, he'd just rush. And in the end, he found the job which was good for him. He was a postman. So he was delivering lots of posts. It was good for him. But when he was a waiter, he wouldn't let people finish their meals. Halfway through the meals, he'd grab their plates and boom, off he went. But it was great, you know. He was always in a rush. It was a great session to do with our English students. But sometimes we rush a lot. Even in our time with God, we rush. Even right now, some of us, we're already thinking about rushing home. But we need to give God time. During worship, as soon as the songs are over, we think about rushing and finishing the worship time, not giving God the time. See, it's in the stillness. And after all the shebangs and babangs, that's when God moves. But we're so fascinated with shebangs and babangs. We are so fascinated with charisma that we don't give time for that stillness. So we have to observe before acting on a situation. Am I willing to ask a question that will expose my ignorance? I talked about this a few weeks ago, didn't I? When we first started with the building project, I didn't know the name of the tools. So Andrew would say to me, go get pliers. I'm thinking, what's pliers? Is it a screwdriver? You know, he'd say, go get pliers. Well, yes. Then I used to go there. You know, I didn't even ask him what were pliers. You know, because I thought I'm going to make myself look like a stupid here. So I used to go, then I, do you know what I did? A wise person brings the whole bag with him. So that's exactly what I did. I came back with the whole bag. They're all in there. You know? But we have to learn to ask questions. You see? So now when I don't, I ask him. I'm like, Andrew, sorry, what does that mean? Then he shows and he explains. You see, and we have to learn to ask questions. That's what in the Bible study, Bible class that we do every Tuesday, please ask questions. Please ask questions. That's what it's there for. When you ask questions, you learn more, amen. You learn more. Am I open to doing things in a way which I haven't done before? Are you open to doing things in a way which you haven't done before? See, some of you guys are already nodding your heads. And we don't like change. We don't like change. You know, but we have to. If God wants to bring about a change in our routine and our habits, we have to. Maybe we don't like being told the truth.
But the reality is we need to know the truth. We need to hear the truth. And truth is painful. Amen. We don't always like truth. And truth isn't always soft. Truth is harsh. That's why it's called the harsh truth, the hard truth. Do we act defensive when being criticized? Do you act defensive when you're being corrected? Do I listen openly for truth? If you do all of that, then good on you guys. You're very good. You're better than me, amen. Because I struggle with a lot of them. Personally, I really do. But, you know, those are the things I challenge myself on. And kind of like, I pray, you know, God give me strength to kind of just look at these things and really examine my own heart. Because Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Ask yourself these questions. Guard your heart. The third one I want to bring to our attention is this. Be a dreamer. But don't stay there. Do something about it. Amen. Have a dream. But don't just dream dreams. Do the dreams. Do the dreams. Do what God has put in your heart. Don't be scared. So dream. D-R-E-A-M. I spoke about this some time back, but I want to, because there's lots of new faces, I want to just bring this out again. D-R-E-A-M. So D stands for discipline your life. Have boundaries. Discipline your life. Have boundaries. You will hear me talk about discipline quite a lot, because I really, really believe that discipline is so important. You know, you've heard Andrew mention this a lot. Disciple, disciplined follower. You see, that's what we talk about discipline. I mean, David talks about discipline quite a lot. You see, we emphasize this element of discipline because we believe that it's crucial in our spiritual journey with the Lord. Spending time with the Lord is a discipline. Coming to church is a discipline. Reading our Bible is a discipline. It all starts with discipline. And the more we're disciplined, then it becomes a habit. Then the more it becomes a habit, then it becomes part of you. So discipline your life. Amen. D stands for discipline your life. R stands for run with the vision. Run with the vision. You see, when we, as a body ministry, see, God gives His church leaders. You see, and please don't hear what I'm not trying to communicate. This might come out strong, but can I say this? Our vision, Christ's vision becomes our vision, but I firmly believe God gives the leaders in the church His vision, then it becomes the congregation's vision, then it becomes a body ministry, then everybody runs with that same vision. Amen? So in a sense, this isn't about dictating or dictatorship or anything like that. This is about trusting the leaders and trusting that they've heard from God. And because they've heard from God, their vision therefore now becomes my vision because they've received that vision from the Lord. Can I get an amen? It's a body ministry. Because in Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18 it says, without vision people perish. Without vision, people perish. See, don't know if most of you guys remember, but beginning of the year, Grace reminded us all of the prophecies that were spoken to them. You see, and I believe those were prophecy for us as a body, not just individuals, but as a body. See, I've still got a copy of those prophecies with me. And I believe those were prophecies for us as a community, as well, as church in Harvest Fields. So what were being said to them was actually, I believe God gave them those prophecies so that prophecy would continue. Like the same in the Bible. You see, God revealed those words to Paul and everybody. And we could have easily disregarded all those words. Oh, it was only for them. But it wasn't. 2,000 years later, the words of the gospel in the Old Testament and everything, it still applies to us. Amen? So So the word that was spoken to them then was the word for us today now as well. And I think, and these are the things that perhaps we forget sometimes, but God has given us a promise. Amen. God has given us a promise. God gave Moses promise. And that promise continued with Joshua, and it continued. And I believe that promise that was given to Andrew and Grace, it shall continue. Amen. It will continue. In my generation, in the next generation, it will continue. Hallelujah. And church, let's pray and believe that what God has given us will come into fulfillment in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Run with the vision. Let's run with the vision. We have vision, church. We have a vision, amen. We have a vision, and it's an exciting vision, and let's be ready to run with it. Then comes E. E stands for embrace the challenges. Don't run away from them. We love this idea of vision and promises, but hey, with promises, there are challenges. There are challenges. 25 years. After 25 years, the prophecy came into full fulfillment. 25 years is a long time. It's a long time. Good Lord. It's a long time, you know. But I praise God for Andrew and Grace's faithfulness. But I praise God for that man who gave that word as well, that word of prophecy in America. He heard from God and he gave that prophecy. But with that prophecy came a lot of challenges. And I praise God for David as well, because before that prophecy came about, David prophesied something. Amen. About the wells. There was going to be how many wells? 3 wells. And this is the 3rd well. And this is the well of the freedom. Amen. This is the well that flows freedom, that flows with grace, that flows with mercy. Amen. Overflowing, outburst of freedom. But it couldn't. There are challenges. And church, you know, we don't want to be discouraging, but there will be challenges. And the reason we talk about challenges is because we are preparing one another as the body of Christ for what's to come. But rest assured, God is in control. God is in control. Challenges will come, trials will come, temptation, whatever, it will come. But God is in control. And as long as we stand together in prayer, we will see victory in Jesus. Amen. We will see victory in Jesus. A, this is another thing now. A stands for ask for help. Ask for help. Ask for help. Don't let the pride hold you back. We need to ask for help. See, when I struggle with something, I'm the kind of person who just gets on with things, you know. But now, it's just I've learned that you can't just get on with things. If you struggle with something, you need to ask. Amen. We have to ask. We have to learn to ask for help. Even Paul, when he was in prison, he asked for help for churches. And then the churches were able to provide for him whilst he was in prison. Because back then, if you're in prison, you don't get free meals in prison. You need to have people coming in to visit you every day and give you meals. So people from church, they were coming to come in with food and coming with loads of support for him. And hence the reason why he writes to church and thank you for your gift. So when it's ask for help, don't let the pride hold you back. If there's something that you need help with, ask. Before you were running on your own, now you have a body. You have a family. You have a community. You have a church in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're struggling with something, please ask. Please ask. And M stands for motivate yourself and others around you. That's the whole reason why we gather together, to encourage one another, to motivate one another, and to move forward in the things of God. Amen. So that's dream for you. Discipline your life. Run with the vision. Embrace the challenges. Ask for help. Motivate yourself and others around you. So I think we'll just stop there tonight. You know, and because I'm mindful of time at the same time, is there anybody who has got anything they'd like to share tonight? A few words. Come on, Ava. Come on, church. Let's encourage Ava.
Is that okay? I've been really challenged tonight. Really sorely challenged tonight. But, you know, I want Jesus to be on the throne of my heart and not fear. And I struggle to get up and do this kind of thing and share, but fear's coming down. Yeah. So the thing I wanted to share was about, in Bible school, we've been doing about the spiritual gifts, tongues and interpretation, and yesterday prophecy. And so I've been practicing a little bit. A few years ago, I listened to a Derek Prince teaching, and he was taking people through praying in tongues and then just waiting on the Lord, asking for an interpretation for what you've just prayed. And I did it last night. I was praying for the church leadership for direction. Prayed just for a couple of minutes and then asked the Lord to interpret. And this is what I got. Keep marching on, one foot in front of the other. Keep trampling down the enemy until you cross the finish line. And for me, it just encouraged me, because I say it again. Keep marching on, one foot in front of the other. Keep trampling down the enemy until you cross the finish line. And, you know, I've got a lot of confidence in the leadership here. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have, but just to hear that from the Spirit of God, it just, you know, encouraged me even more. So, thank you.
Praise the Lord. It's following what Ava's just said. You know, the finishing line for you and for me can be different, but it's the finishing line that we're aiming for. I mean, when I ran the London Marathon, there was 35,000 people ran it. There was only going to be one winner, and that wasn't going to be me. But I wasn't out to win. I was out to cross the finishing line. And I did cross the finishing line. But let me say to you, is God, that's what we've got to aim for. Got to aim for the finishing line. Now, mine may be further on than what yours is, or it may be different to what yours is, but together we can make it. I had someone running at the side of me till I'd got to 23 miles. Then I told him he could go now, because I'd come in on my hands and knees if I had to do, because I knew I was gonna make that finishing line, whatever the cost. And sometimes we've got to have the same impetus and same desire as I had that day. God gives you a aim. Let me say to you that anything that comes along to challenge you, it's not challenging you to break you. It's challenging you to make you stronger than it was before. Now, I hit the wall at 23 miles, and a lot of people, when they do that, they finish. That's the end of the race. But I looked down at the road and it wasn't going by, and I thought, what's going off here? And I just said, right, come on, get your feet going. One foot in front of the other. I often say, I often quote that, put one foot in front of the other and you'll get to your destination. It's one foot, one step at a time. I know there's a song we're singing, the one step at a time, little dear Jesus. But that's what it is. It's one step at a time. It isn't mighty leaps. Sometimes we do have a big leap. Suddenly we get an impetus from our spiritual walk with God, and we take a giant leap. But most of the times it's one step at a time. And let me tell you, the steps that I want to take have already been mapped out. Jesus has already mapped those steps out. All he wants you to do is put your feet in the steps that he's mapped out for you. And like Daniel was saying, be yourself. You know, this one of the beauties, or one of the things I love about this fellowship, I can be me. With all my warts and all my funny ways, I can still be me. And not worry that if I make a mistake. Because we all make mistakes. But don't worry about it, because you've got somebody to come alongside you among the people of God who will stand with you and say, okay, come on, let's go it together. If you fall down, like Pastor Andrews often said, don't stop there. Telephone somebody and say, I'm having a rough day. And that will immediately alert them to speak to the Lord on your behalf. And let me say, there is an old saying, a problem shared is a problem halved. And you can often share a problem that seems so big in your own mind, so enormous that you think, I can't get through this. But then you share it with you speak to somebody somebody you have confidence in. And you speak to them and they say, well, yeah, but this is what the Word of God says. Oh, I haven't seen that before. And let me say to you, I've been serving the Lord a long time. And I'm still seeing things in the Word of God I've never seen before. I still read the Word of God and suddenly something jumps off the page. Where did that come from? It's been there all the time, but I hadn't seen it. I've started listening to somebody reading me the Word of God. Because in the morning when I put my drops in my eyes, I can't see very well. It's a bit blurred. So this person's reading it to me. Do you know, as I've pondered and I listened to what they're reading, suddenly things are coming out that I've never seen before. Because I think sometimes when you're reading, you're actually concentrating hard on what you're reading. But when someone's reading it to you hard, you're actually listening. What we heard tonight, listen. Because God does speak. God does speak today. How does he speak? How he speaks to you, I don't know. I know how he speaks to me. And I know when he speaks to me. But when I'm listening. Not when the humbug of the world is going on around me. When the television is telling me this is wrong and that's wrong. In fact, for many weeks, I hardly had the television news on. I just refused to listen to the lies and the things that would bring fear to me. Because perfect love casts out all fear. You can know the perfect love of Jesus as you fellowship together. I'm still fascinated with one. One, it still fascinates me. That number one, and that's what I want, a oneness. Where we're just seeking the Lord together. Where we're not trying to get brownie points. We're not trying to get the better of somebody. Rather, we're trying to help. We're trying to encourage. We want to be Barnabases. He was a son of encouragement. He was the only one that went to look to see Paul when everybody looked at him. Quite one thinking, what's he up to? What kind of trick is he trying to play? But he'd actually changed sides. He'd actually come on the Lord's side, but Barnabas went to him. And he said, and he went alongside him and he stood with him. He introduced him to the other disciples. Let us be those that will get alongside one another. We don't know how you feel until you tell us. You tell us and then we know how you feel. We know how to help you through that time, probably of struggle. I've had physical struggles while I've been here. What's happened? I've been so glad that you prayed. And they've given you time to pray. 2 days, I've told you before, 2 days I didn't know anything. I was gone in COVID. Well, my God, I was at 10 days lockdown, 2 of the days. I still have no memory. Still can't think what happened those 2 days. Except I had this overwhelming thought that no matter what's going on, Jesus is there. He's alongside. And I went to the hospital this week about my left eye. He said, you've got a very peaceful left eye. There's nothing going on inside there. Come back and see me in a year's time. We'll just see how you're going on. But he said, everything's perfectly. You're going, just keep putting the drops in. But the trouble with the drops is that I can't see out of my other eye very well. So, for a period. But what we've heard tonight, I believe the Lord is saying to us, look, we're together. We're in this together. But we can't be together if you isolate yourself. Don't be isolated. Be part of the fellowship. Be part of what's going on. And if you feel down, really, the way to get back up again is to get someone else alongside you that'll help you. There's a Barnabas in this church for you. There's a Barnabas for me. I know where to go. I know who to ask. Let me say to you, the leadership, as far as I'm concerned, are approachable in such a way that you don't need to fear. Perfect love casts out all fear, and love is the key. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Great word.
Yeah.
Great words.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 12. Therefore, seeing we also are surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That cloud of witnesses are those who have gone on before us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Who are residing in the heavenlies right now. And the word tells us from there, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily grabs hold of us and stops us from running. Let us run the race with patience. Let's run the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. What's the race that's set before you? To run for Jesus. And he goes on in verse 2. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. He finished the race. He finished the race. You know, on that cross he said, it is finished. Hallelujah. And so looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And who Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. And the word tells us that we are seated in Christ. Now, just get that picture. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne room of the throne of God. And if you are seated in Christ, where are you sat? Huh? You're sat at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Whoa, that's something to praise and to be excited about. Dream. Dream the dreams. Live it. Live it. Breathe it. Hallelujah. You know, we've lived it and breathed it for 50 odd years now. And I'm still living it and breathing it. And I've still got the energy for it. And I'm still not satisfied yet because I know there is much more land to possess. Lord, give me the mountains. Give me the high places, Lord. Give me the high places. Hallelujah. Give me those mountains, Lord. Let's take this place for Jesus. Hallelujah. And let's give him praise and bless him. Hallelujah. Just give the Lord a hand. Praise his wonderful name. A good word, a good time of praise and worship. Good words of encouragement and strengthening to us. Come on, folks, let's just go for it. Let's stand in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise. Just lift your voice and just give thanks to the Lord. Just give him praise. You know, just don't be afraid of your voice right now. Just begin to praise him. Just begin to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to give him thanks. Just, you know, if that's the only thing you say tonight, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you saved me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that you saved me. Thank you, Jesus, that you healed me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you healed me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you delivered me from the enemy. Thank you, Lord. You delivered me from the enemy. You set the captives free. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. And Father, right now we pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would just hover over each and every one of us right now. And Lord, there would be an outpouring, Lord. Lord, I come against sadness. Lord, I come against grief. Lord, I come against feelings of unworthiness in Jesus' name right now. And I bind you and I stand against you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For Lord, you've called us. Lord, you've called us by name. You've appointed us. And you, Lord, are equipping us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I come against, Lord, the feeling of inadequacy in people's lives right now. For those that have been told you'll never amount to much, in the name of Jesus, I break that curse in that mighty name of the Lord Jesus. On the cross, it was broken. Those words that said you never amount to much, they are broken right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise His wonderful name. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Father. We just give you praise. We just give you praise right now. You know, if one of those words fits for you tonight, just raise your hand and just say, thank you, Jesus. Just raise your hand and give thanks to Jesus. Just raise your hands and give thanks to Jesus. The curse is broken. You will amount to much. You will be an achiever. You will be effective. That sadness, that grief that has been residing over you, that guilt, that false guilt, false accusations, they're all broken. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just praise you right now. We just praise you, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. We thank you, Lord, for your Word that's been confirmed to us. Oh, God, and we pray right now that that Word, oh, God, will be active within us. And Lord, it shall work even in the night watches on our lives. That this night we shall dream the dreams of heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. And enjoy the Lord tonight. Hallelujah in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.